As I was speaking just a minute ago, it is Father's Day, and I just want to say happy Father's Day to everybody out there. Hats off to you. It can be a job sometimes, I know that, but it's also a blessing. So happy Father's Day to everyone. Today my message is more than communication. I'm going to just touch on the traditional Father's Day message. It's really not my focus here today, but I do want to touch on it and just let you know from my heart today what that means for us and God as our Father. There are four parts today that I want to cover that will pretty much sum up this message. And the first one is communication. Later on today, I'll call my dad on the telephone. I'll wish him a happy Father's Day. I'll be able to hear his voice on the other end, and we'll be able to talk about it and share today, just one-on-one on the telephone. But unfortunately, I'm not able to do that today, call our Father, Heavenly Father, on the telephone and talk to him direct. It's a little bit different than it used to be. And I'm a little jealous of our forefathers who had the opportunity that God would actually speak in a voice to them. They actually heard God's voice. We don't get to do that today. It's through us, through our spirit we hear him, but we don't actually get to hear that audible voice. And so we communicate with God through prayer. That's our communication line. And when God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, I mean, they actually got to, just like we would be able to walk with our dad and talk to him. That was a special time, and I wish it was that way today. But we still have prayer, and that's our line of communication with our Father, and it's powerful. So as far as communicating with God, we're probably going to have a sword drill here today. I've got a lot of different places to go in the Bible, so you may want to get them ready. First place to go is Hebrews 13. We're going to read in verses 15 and 16. And it's just talking about communication with God. And what it says here is, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Now, Paul's talking about the altars here, and there's several scriptures. I've chosen these here. But how we can offer up praise and communicate to our Father through prayer. And that's very important. There are three verses in the Bible that all pretty much say the same thing. And it was when Solomon was dedicating the temple. And he stated basically the same thing three times. It's in 1 Kings. You don't have to turn here. It's very short. You can look it up later if you want. It's 1 Kings 8:45, 8:49, and in 2 Chronicles 6:35. And it's always been said to me, when something in the Bible is mentioned over and over, it's very important. And but the one from 8:45 says, "Then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause." And as long as we stay in prayer with God, and we talk to God, and we offer up our prayers to God, he will maintain our cause as long as we live in righteousness. And that's a key thing there, is living in righteousness. God answered Solomon in 1 Kings 9:3, and it said, "And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." So God, there's an example where Solomon prayed, dedicating the temple, and God come back and said, "I hear it. I will come in. I will be there. I will put my name on the temple. I will reside there." So it's just, that's the way we do it today, is we pray to God for his blessings in our life and his guidance and so forth. As a father, I like to be able to give things to my boys. It's just something that you want to do. You want to, when they ask for something, you want to give it to them. And you try every way you can possible to give it to them. And God's no different. All you have to do is put your request in and rest in the Lord that the answer will come. And right now, I'm believing that. We're in a similar situation. I've put my request into God. And it's up to me to believe that God will take care of it. Let him handle it. And that's the hardest thing we have to do here on earth, because especially as a guy, you want to fix it. If there's a problem, you want to fix it. And a lot of times that's that's where wives and husbands have trouble, is a woman just wants to vent the problem, but a man will try to fix it. Sometimes there's no fix for it. But if we pray to God, our Father, he'll fix the problem, because he can do it. He's the King, he's our Father, and he'll do it. And I'm believing in that. But that's backed up in Philippians 4, 5 through 7. If you all want to turn there, we'll read that passage together. It says here, "Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Don't worry. That's a section in the Bible that tells you, if you put it in God's hands, he'll solve the problem for you. He'll take care of you. Don't worry. God still communicates with us today. We just are not able to hear his voice in the audible way, but he still communicates through us, through the word, through prayer. That was the first part of this message. I've got four parts, so I'm hoping I'm not going to run out of time here. But prayer is our guide. Guidance is the second part of this, and prayer is our guide. If you remember back when I first did a study, I talked about the free will of man, and God sees all possible decisions and outcomes. That's incredible. Again, I'm going back to that study because that's a real important part for me. For God to be able to see every decision in your life prior to you making is amazing. I mean, think, one person, how many decisions do you make in a day? Hundreds of them. And every one of those decisions has different outcomes depending on what you choose to do. And for God to be outside the timeline and can see the whole picture for everybody's life, and to be able to say, you know, okay, here's my plan. This is God's plan for you. You know, and then here's all the other possibilities that could happen. It's mind-blowing when you sit down and think about it. It's really, really something. But who here believes God has our best interest at heart? Everybody? I think it's unanimous. Should be. Because he does. He does have our best interest at heart. Way we can follow God's plan is stay in communication with him. Pray. Pray for his guidance through the day, through whatever it may be, whether it's computer training or whatever comes up. Pray for God's guidance, because help you. He can show you the way His plan is in your life. If you're out there and you're unsaved, God still has a plan for you. He has a plan for you to become saved, for you to get in the fold, and He has a plan for you. But if you ignore it or run away from it, you're going to end up in trouble, because God's plan is the best for us. Sometimes it doesn't always feel like it. Sometimes you feel like you've taken the wrong path. But if you followed God and you know you follow God, He's going to take you through to the other side. And I thank God for that. Sometimes we do things without praying about them. And it doesn't always work out the way we want it to. Sometimes we think we're waiting too long for the answer. It doesn't come about. And in some cases, it really causes big problems. Just ask Abraham. God promised him many nations. It took a little longer than Abraham thought it should. What did he do? Well, he caused himself some big problems, and we're still dealing with those problems today, right now. So it can really cause a ripple effect if you don't let God take control and follow His guidance. Pray for His guidance every day. It's important. I'm learning all these things myself every day as I go through, and I thank God that He's teaching me to trust in Him, because it's always been hard for me. I've always been one of those want to fix it guys, you know, and it's hard for me to let go and just say, okay, God, we're on Your timeline, we're on Your timeline. It's different than ours, so we thank You. We know it'll happen, and it's hard to do. In Psalms 31:3, it says here, "For Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for Thy name's sake, lead me and guide me." Now, this is a passage that can be some people say is a foreshadow, that Jesus was asking for guidance in the same way. Just like David wrote many years ago, or many years prior to him being in the garden asking for guidance, even Jesus asked for guidance from God. You know, and if He does it, we must do it too. I mean, it's important. You know, if we just trust in Him, pray, and follow His guidance, we're going to be okay. Psalms 32:8 is another one. I'll let you turn to that if you've already turned to 31:3. "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes." Again, if we follow God's guidance, we cannot fail. Psalms 48:14. I told you we'd be doing a sword drill today. I wasn't kidding. We're all around. At least I'm keeping you in the same book here for a minute or two. Psalms 48:14. "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will guide, He will be our guide even unto death." Even unto death. He'll guide you forever. Because once we pass on from this life, we'll be in His hands. He's our guide forever. I want to read that one more time. "For this God is our God forever and ever, and He will be our guide even unto death." It's just important. Very important. And one more scripture to back this up is Isaiah 58:11. Guidance. "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." God promises prosperity. if you let him guide you. And prosperity, I'm not talking always dollar. You can be prosperous in health. You can be prosperous in a lot of ways. In love, kindness, peace, the fruits of the Spirit. Prosperity is not always money. It's, you know, he'll prosper you and make your life line up with his. And I think that's very important. And all we have to do is pray and ask for God's guidance each day. And honestly, on each decision we make, not every decision, I mean, you can't, you know, but you've got major decisions in your life. God knows he'll help you through it. I believe it. The third point I want to touch on today is power. And through prayer is power. For those of you who like formulas today, Casey likes formulas a lot. He's always working something out, this or that. And I was doing a study and I just felt God with this formula. He says, prayer coupled with trust and faith equals power. Prayer coupled with trust and faith equals power. If you pray, trust that God heard you, and you have faith God will answer the prayer, I believe you'll tap into the power portion. And we should always be quick to prayer. Always. Especially when something is if there's a major roadblock, that should be our first inclination. Pray, God, help me. Anytime we run into a major situation, that should be our first response. In Romans 12:12, we touch on this. Let me look that up myself. I apologize. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. The idea is that we pray about everything and continually and be quick to do so. I apologize because the verse I had in my notes was not not the one that I had plan to use here. This is the one. Continuing instant in prayer. A prime example of a lack of power is shown in Mark 9:14 through 29. It's a long passage here, but I think it's something we need to look at. Because you have to have faith, true faith. You have to trust wholly in the Lord, and you have to be deep in prayer to be able to do some of the things that you have to do as a Christian. And in Mark 9:14 through 29 shows some place that people weren't really prepared to do what they were doing. And it says here, and when he came to his disciples, he saw the great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto you my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he takes him, he tears him, and he foams and gnashes his teeth and pines away. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generation. He spoke to the disciples here in verse 18 that they should cast him out, and they could not. These are the followers of Christ. They could not cast him out. Anyway, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tore him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came in unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Pray and believe, all things are possible. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, you dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you out of him, and enter no more unto him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he came, when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Prayer. You've got to be prayed up. If you're going to attack the devil like that, you got to be in prayer. That's where the power is. Communication, guidance, power. Those are the 3 points. But you better be ready when the devil attacks. You better be ready. You better be instant, quick to prayer. And you better be in prayer. The fourth and final point in my message today is a warrior. Prayer warriors. Have you ever met somebody who's always in prayer, who always seems to be quick to prayer? You can feel the power. When you're talking with them, when you're in their presence, you can feel it. It's like there's a connection between them and heaven somehow. And it's just, you can feel that when you're in the presence of these people. It's because they are continually praying. I understand, you have jobs, you have things you're doing, you can't continually pray, but I do. I mean, I pray to myself. I may not be praying out loud, but if I'm at a job, I'll pray. Or if I'm in my truck, I'll pray. Those are my times to pray. You know, you can't be praying when you're talking to somebody, I understand that, or you're teaching, or whatever you're doing. But it's just, in those times, in your prayer times, it's very important. The people who are prayer warriors are those, like I said before, those who communicate, let God guide them, and they tap into the power. Prayer warriors have an intercessor's heart as well, and they believe in intercessory prayer. Our church does that. I feel we have some prayer warriors here in the church. I mean, for this church to be so concerned about, we just went through a list of people that we pray for every Sunday, that we pray for in our own prayer times. That takes a prayer warrior to do that, to intercede for others. A lot of times people will say, I need this, I need that, I need, I need, I need. And you pray for it almost selfishly. But those who intercede for others, I think those are the true prayer warriors. Those are the people who've tapped into that power. But in 2 Corinthians 1:11, It says, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given on many on our behalf. Warriors are not only intercessors, but they also have the armor for battle. And in closing, I'm going to touch on that point too. Turn with me to Ephesians 6:13. This has been used a lot but this is important. The resources, we're going to read 13 through 18. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. I touched on that earlier. Faith is key to the power. You shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And he throws a lot of them, believe me. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication to the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I'm going to read that again. That last verse, 18, praying always with prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and incessant pleading, incessant prayer, and watch thereunto with all perseverance. Don't stop. Persevere. Do not stop. Keep going. Always keep going. Because when you stop, you lose the battle. And supplication, petitions and requests, and for all saints, saints praying for other saints, intercessory. It's important. Prayer is so important. God's been dealing with me on this subject for a long time. Probably since the time that you'd asked me before, you guys had asked. I had felt God dealing with me on this message. When you ask, I knew it was the right time to deliver it. And there have been several people touch on prayer over the last few. Pastors touched on it a couple times. And even when we went to the other church the other day, my folks' church, they were talking about prayer. So it kind of lined up with what I felt was needing to be brought out. And I know that most of you have all heard this before, but, you know, once I had accepted that and everything, God's tested me. That's when things happened in the business that, you know, when I stepped up to give this message, that's when things started. And just like you said, when you start stepping up to take, you know, to take the banner from God and run with it, that's when Satan's going to fight you even more. And I believe that. How can we honor God today? Strive to be a warrior for Him. In these last days, we'll all come under heavy attack. I mean, like you were saying, there's several things happening in the world just this week that's not Christian. It's totally the other way. And it's going to continue happening. And we've got to be ready for that attack. We've got to have that armor. God loves the simple communication just like I do with my sons, like my dad and me when we are able to communicate. He likes that simple communication. But if we can join Him and His army and be fully armored and stand by Him, ready to do battle against Satan, all the time interceding for our brothers and sisters in Christ, I think that would be a good Father's Day present for God. I really do. So in summation, basically prayer is more than communication. It's power, it's guidance in our lives, and it's a chance for our Casey back there. it's a chance for us to do something for God and our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's my message today. Thank you very much, Pastor.